Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give wisdom today and discernment to your people for the times to come, for strong delusions are on their way and they're actually here. So we thank you, Father, for wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about New Age alien deceptions, which we're in the midst of, actually. Let me just say that the camel's nose is in the tent. Some of you know what that means. The body follows, right? So we're headed towards a new world order in the midst of a galactic federation of aliens, also known as demons by those who have discernment by the Holy Spirit. And who of us voted for this? Well, you'll find that we didn't. The alliance leaders did. Is this communism when they don't, ask for our opinion? I want to share with you some updates regarding the AI, New Age, and alien deceptions that we are witnessing among the Alliance and others. I'm going to begin with some recent headlines from Operation Disclosure, which identify what I'm talking about. They point to this federation that has come together. All right. April the 24th, Planetary Council, look at the wording, announced new global alliance leaders step forward. Non-territorial cooperation treaty signed by 177 nations. However, you didn't get the vote on that, did you? So we are to be realigned as a one world order here. April the 27th, another one. Interplanetary programs declassified. Interplanetary? Mm-hmm. First public mention of secret space operations. Unity accord with off-world representatives acknowledged. When did we have a say on this? Okay. April the 29th, 2025. New Earth constitutions signed locally. Communities select peace councils to represent them in the Planetary Council. Governments replaced with service cells. So we are being absorbed into their galactic terminology. Here's another one, April the 30th, 2025. Final transfer to quantum internet complete. All devices migrate to QNET. Artificial intelligence fully transparent and accountable and people aligned. What people are aligned with this artificial intelligence? You see, that's something we don't know. But we're seeing something change here. We can't be aligned with Antichrist, which is anything outside of Christ. For Christians, this is a bigger problem than the rest of the crazies out there. Okay? May the 2nd, 2025, healing centers begin opening across continents. Med beds, DNA repair chambers. Of course, these med beds can change your DNA. So I'm just telling you up front here. And neuroharmonization technologies become publicly available. The age of restoration officially begins. So are we going to now harmonize with the rest of the pagan planet and then the galaxy? Well, let's read on here a little bit. May the 3rd, 2025, the first interspecies council meeting is broadcast worldwide. Humanity is formally acknowledged as a sovereign civilization by the Galactic Alliance. Okay, when did we vote them in, right? Or when did we vote ourselves into them? Contact protocols enter public discourse. A federation does not permit a sovereign planet. A federation with other galactic entities does not permit a sovereign planet. May the 4th, 2025, Earth Year Zero is initiated. Oh, so is our history now abolished? A new planetary calendar replaces systems rooted in empire and conflict. Well, I guess we have had empires and we have had conflicts, but evidently all that's to be erased. So, it's creeping in. You know, resistance is futile, says the Borg, right? You remember them? May the 5th, 2025. Starport construction begins in 7 geostrategic locations. Civilian transport to orbital gateways is confirmed. Terraforming partnerships announced for Mars and Luna sectors. Sounds like some of you farmers might be exported out there to do some work on another planet. May the 7th, 2025. The Department of Human Advancement launches global curricula shifts towards consciousness training. This is all a lot of New Age type, you know, vernacular here, you know. Ethics, quantum sciences, and planetary stewardship. We don't need any help with the ethics. The world has no ethics, and the aliens don't have any ethics either. Christ has the ethics. That's where we study that. May the 8th, 2025. Agricultural resets begin. Geo-engineered soil is restored. Sounds like a good idea. Depends upon how you do it, I guess. Food independence programs roll out. Seed vaults open under open source planetary stewardship mandates. Planetary stewardship mandates? May the 9th, 2025. Language harmonization initiatives commence. Are we going back to Babel? Do we have to go back to having all of our languages harmonized? Ancient root languages are integrated into education. Oh, we need that. Like we need a hole in our head. Another one, right? Telepathic development modules introduced for children under 9. Telepathic, they're going to teach them telepathy? Will we know who is training our children when they become telepathic along with the aliens? May the 10th, 2025. Planetary defense grid declared active. Not military, protective. QNET AI monitors for existential threats in space and time. Transparency dashboards are made public. Of course, if you're receiving this from the aliens, you don't know exactly what they're doing to you and are you really protected or not. Can you be protected from them? Okay, May the 11th, 2025, official end of the transition phase. Humanity enters full spectral sovereignty. No more passports, no more taxes, no more surveillance. only stewardship, transparency, and service. In other words, a one world order. We traded one world order for another one world order. Okay. This is something I picked up. How to connect with the Galactic Federation. Now, this is all going to be crazy to some of you, but they're going to tell you how to connect with the Galactic Federation. Many people believe that the Galactic Federation is a made-up thing. Some are so confused to even claim it's negative, but it's not. Let me say, if the people did not get to vote on this, and aliens are actually demons, this is traitorous. The Galactic Federation is a group of highly evolved so-called who have been around since the beginning of time. You have to believe what they say to believe such a thing. They are here to help you fulfill your purpose on Earth. Well, I think we ought to let the Bible be the judge. Aliens have shown up before. Okay. The Galactic Federation is made up of love, light, and peace. It is a collective of beings who have reached the highest level of consciousness possible. A lot of New Age stuff there that's invaded the Alliance. But everybody believes this of their own religion, right? They all believe they're right, you know. We go by the Bible. The Galactic Federation was created as an extension of each individual soul to help them on their journey towards self-realization. We don't want self-realization. We want self to be extinguished. They exist to help us live in harmony with one another as well as with our environment and the recreation. Next, I want to share a few revelations from our brethren on our site that relate to these alien, also known as demon, deceptions. And we call this, aliens are demons manifested in the flesh. There are many people convinced of aliens or guides that they feel are friendly to humanity, which is a strong delusion because all of the aliens are demons. All of them. There's no such thing as an alien. Okay. I watched a video where a man put on an alien mask. It was a full head covering all the way down to his neck. It was very convincing. He looked just like an alien and he talked and so on and so forth. So who are they deceiving? That's kind of deceiving one another, right? Okay. There is the fake alien delusion, and there is the real alien delusion, but they are actually demons, as we know them in the Bible. It's a strong delusion, because all of the aliens are demons. As the scripture says, have you noticed that many of the Planet X/Nibiru researchers have fallen for what they read the ancients said of aliens showing up when Planet X did? That's interesting. History is repeating, isn't it? They were deceived by demons as a type for our day. We should not be deceived. They are being released by God to deceive. Jude 5. Now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. It is possible they will play the good alien, bad alien game to drive the multitudes into the camp of the so-called good aliens, but they're all demons. Here's GC's revelation. In my dream, I was outside of a populated area, maybe in a park or something. It was nighttime, and it seemed like any other summer night, and all of a sudden, a lot of strange lights started appearing in the sky. First, it seemed like hundreds of shooting stars falling to Earth, and then, as the light became more illuminated, the objects took the shape of spacecraft. Holographic planes have been discovered among the deep state that can actually put these pictures in the sky. So there is a, that was short-circuited here recently. The Alliance knew that they were going to try this alien deception, and they brought it down. But there's still an alien deception, even on the right. That's what I want to talk to you about. See, the night sky was lit up like the 4th of July. Everyone was shocked and amazed from east to west, and the sky filled with this armada of craft entering Earth's atmosphere. Well, let me say, what the ancients believed were aliens who showed up during the time of Planet X, according to their writings, were in fact demons, who are fallen angels and can take on the appearance of physical bodies, just like God's angels can and do in the scriptures. But for the purpose of deception, the tribulation covenant could be made under the cover of catastrophes. Just as the woman is going into the wilderness, there is a war in heaven, and Satan and his fallen angels are cast down to the earth to deceive the whole world. Wonder if that's them. We're there. Revelation 12 and 9, and the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. The whole world is going to buy into this. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Remember, they can take on a body just like the real angels of God can take on a body. We also received a dream of a bright star falling from heaven, and the confirming scripture, Isaiah 14, where Satan is falling from heaven, Isaiah 14, 12 through 13. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, that didst lay low the nations? And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The aliens want to be above you. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. So Satan deceives men into thinking he is God, and he's pleased with unregenerate, falsely called good men, which is the doctrine of the New Age, right? They want to moralize you, but I mean, when they, as I've always said, when they hit their thumb with a hammer, what comes out of their mouth, right? They can play the play, but they can't walk the walk. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers are fashioning themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The alliance is bringing about many good moral changes, but it appears they are complicit in this deception of the nations. In Revelation 18 and 23, "And the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the princes of the earth, for with thy sorcery were all the nations deceived." You know, I said it before, we are moving from what historically was Babylon into Media Persia. They were both beasts. Obviously, when Media Persia took over, they were far more popular than Babylon was, but they were still a beast kingdom. So let's go back to the dream. "I was very skeptical even while seeing this with my own two eyes. I confidently told everyone, 'Don't be fooled. It's a hologram.'" Well, they are using holograms, let me say. Okay. That's the part of the delusion that the deep state tried to foist upon us, and it failed. Okay. And that's, of course, still one of the theories, right? "I thought these sites were just a crafty trick," which is true, but not as a false vision, right? "But then the ships started to get closer to the ground, and they ultimately landed. And by this time, I was starting to get bewildered. I didn't know what to think. I was really caught off guard. I thought for sure it was all some sort of illusion by the evil rulers of the world." Well, in the alliance, let me just say, is the alliance in on a plan of strong delusion, whether they know it or not, which is according to God's will to separate the wheat from the tares. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, listen carefully. "And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming." Now, if this lawless one could be revealed in the church and was hidden in the church, much like Judas was, what about in the worldly kingdom of this Medo-Persian Empire? Because these people are not Christians. Could they be deceived? Even easier, they can be deceived. Okay. "And bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Can fallen angels perform lying wonders? Of course. Did we get to vote on joining the Galactic Federation? No. We didn't. And they didn't want the Christians' input on this. Some Christians who are filled with the Spirit of God have wisdom and discernment to see through aliens. "And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." It appears in this dream of the fallen angels' deception is so strong that God's people will be tested to see who really believes. Mark 13 and 22 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, that they may lead astray, if possible, the elect." So, GC went on to say, once the craft landed, the door opened and some humanoid beings walked out. Everyone was amazed and startled at the same time. I couldn't believe my eyes, still believing this was a hologram. I ran over to the ship to touch it and realized it was real. So, Satan and his angels are very technological, let me tell you. And anytime they need to be, as a matter of fact, and have the ability to manifest and interact with the physical realm. They gave men atomic bombs and anti-gravity flying saucers. We have them. Okay, and they're using them. And they're hiding them from us, but they're using them. I swallowed hard, realizing I was wrong, and I ran back to the crowd. Now, am I saying these flying saucers are fake? It can be fake in more than one way. I mean, obviously, our own deep state is trying to deceive us into humbling ourselves to them because of their revelation of this invasion. They have their angle on this, you know. And of course, the Alliance is doing everything they can to destroy that scenario, but still there is this scenario. Okay. I swallowed hard, realizing I was wrong, and I ran back to the crowd. The humanoid beings dressed in Star Trek type apparel were being led out by a blonde-haired woman. Well, there is a woman who has introduced many to speaking and hearing from aliens. This is no different than a seance, which is speaking to aliens called familiar spirits. He went on to say, I, being overwhelmed and slightly intimidated, ran up to her and began to rebuke her in my tongue language. He said, I often do this in dreams when I feel physically or mentally helpless against an enemy, and it often gets me results. I thought for sure she would shrivel up in a puddle of goop, like something out of The Wizard of Oz. But to my astonishment, she just kind of pushed me out of the way without even acknowledging me, and I was very perplexed. Well, let me say that the answer to this is when God sends a strong delusion to deceive the evil world, we cannot cast it down, nor should we try to. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, For this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So as you can see, we only have authority to help the believers, right? I watched the group of beings disperse into the crowd. It seemed like they had specific orders and didn't even stop to talk to anyone. They just went about whatever it is that they were sent here for. I remember being surrounded by hundreds of people like me, everyone just totally in awe of what they saw. After some time, I started to see the beings again, but now they did not look like humans. They had glass faces like ice. It was like they were wearing a mask, but they weren't. I could see through their heads and nothing was inside. In other words, spirits, right? Fallen spirits. They had hideous clown-like faces with big smiles like jack-o'-lanterns. So, in order to deceive, they want to act friendly, right? So, anyway, thinking these beings to be mere humanoids, while in fact they are demon-possessed, is more common than we think. But the whole world outside of Christ will be deceived and possessed, as the scripture says. They were now corralling people like cattle in different areas. Wonder if that's FEMA camps. The adults were forced to separate from the children and were taken to a designated area. The children were all taken to another area and placed in long lines, all of which led into a large circus-like tent. Obviously, the clowns want to deceive the children into believing they're somebody that they're not. That's what clowns do, right? So this alien disclosure will bring much confusion and distraction, as well as cause some people to give up their faith in the one true God. Because all the aliens have the same doctrine. We planted you here many millennia ago. You know, no, it was God. None of the children quite knew what was happening. They were all a little less concerned than the adults. And I remember leaving the adult group and running over to see what was happening to the children. After seeing what was taking place, I immediately woke up. Okay, then there's this revelation. I met Satan. Same guy. GC. 2011. I would like to share a dream I had that confirms we should not fear Satan or evil. Evil is not as powerful as our minds sometimes imagine, and Satan is no different. I dreamed that I was with an unknown person in this dream who I believe was an angel. I could tell he knew a lot more of what was going on than I did, and I accompanied him everywhere he went. I was like an observer. Towards the end of the dream, we entered an elevator. This elevator took us deep inside the earth. I was told we were going to hell to see Satan. The ride took a long time, and my mind was wondering about how Satan would really appear. And I was thinking, would he be intimidating? Would he be scary? How would I react to see him? Once we arrived at the very bottom, the door opened, and I looked around, and we were inside a very large, dark cave. Hell was just like I'd imagined it. Big, dark, and cavernous, I would say cavernous. I looked out of the area we were in and looked out into the larger opening, and I saw armies and very sophisticated weapons. There was violence taking place, and fire was everywhere. It was almost like a war itself. One of the weapons spotted us as we came out of the elevator and fired a missile at us, but it missed and exploded against the wall. My companion, the angel, was never frightened. It was like he knew nothing could hurt him. And as he walked, I followed. He knew right where he was walking. He came to a door off in a dark corner in the cave, and I realized this was Satan's office. Behind the door was the evil one himself. My heart was racing, not from fear, but from the suspense. The angel I was with opened the door, and there sat Satan in a chair behind a desk. But to my amazement, Satan was not a 7-foot giant with goat horns. He was a clown. He's a clown at the head of the clowns, right? Yes, a clown, and a cartoon clown at that. I was shocked and a little disappointed. I was expecting something more terrifying. Well, no, Satan can't really get you to go along if he's terrifying you, right? He comes as an angel of light, right? So clearly the Lord is saying that Satan and his demons are putting on a false face, but are not to be feared. Luke 10 and 17 says, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Well, Satan is falling as lightning from heaven, according to Revelation chapter 12, right? To deceive the whole world, him and his angels, all of which are demons. The angel then revealed to me that Satan is planning something big for Earth. During our trip back up in the elevator, I saw all these green vines shooting up through the elevator shaft from hell, and they were headed straight to Earth. There were a lot of them, like something from Jack and the Beanstalk. But instead of reaching from Earth to heavens, they were going from hell to Earth above. And then I woke up. Well, according to the follow-up dream that Father gave him more recently, the vines represent the alien deception that Satan is sending to Earth from the pit of hell. Wonder what it could be. I think we've already mentioned it. GC said, below is a continuation from the dream above from 2011 called I Met Satan. It has the green vines connection, where green vines were growing up from hell, and the angel told me Satan is planning something big for Earth, quote unquote. Well, it seems the green vines finally made it to Earth, and the plan is revealed. And so here's this next revelation. Satan is planning something big for Earth. 2022. GC said, for a little context, many years ago, I worked for mortgage companies securing and repairing vacant foreclosures. I dreamed that my dad and I had been given a work order to secure and inspect a foreclosed home in Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles means, by the way, the angels. It was a big house in a nice neighborhood. It was owned by a black husband and wife in their 50s or 60s. Let me say, UFOs and aliens were big in the 50s and 60s. The black couple owning the house could represent that this is a house of sinners submitted to darkness, spiritually speaking, not physically. I gathered this information by looking at their family photos still left at the property. I thought, these folks look very successful. From the photos, it didn't make sense to me how they could lose their house to foreclosure. Well, foreclosure means that they can't pay their debt, so the house is taken back, right? The debt for our house has been paid by faith in Jesus. And if it's not paid because there is no faith, then it belongs to the devil. That's very simple. I thought maybe one or both of them died, but I wasn't sure. I just knew something was amiss. Well, they do. Everybody dies that comes into this world, and they go to their place, as the scripture says, right? When one loses one's house to the devil, their soul is his too, right? So we proceeded through the large house, taking photos with a camera that I had rented at a local camera shop. These photos were to be provided to the bank. Then we walked into the basement, and to our utter amazement, we saw a small alien infant tangled up in those green vines that appeared to be growing from the floor of the basement. That, remember, the vines are the deception, right? A small alien infant. And according to the previous dream, they came straight out of hell. This represents the alien deception. What would be the alien deception? Well, the whole world would accept it. You have to remember that now. Only discerning Christians who have obeyed the Scriptures, been filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, will have discernment in this area. They're the only ones, and that makes them the aliens. So the vines were attached to the wall, and the infant was wrapped up in them. He had a large brown head with two large eyes, and when we saw him and approached him, he became aggressive and hissed at us. Well, the alien slash demons hate Christians, for sure. I remember taking the rented camera and snapping pictures of him. Even though I was astonished at this, I was not overly distracted by it. I proceeded with my work at the property. My dad and I decided not to show the photos to anyone, as it would become a distraction to the public. Well, could this represent the Father hiding things from the wise and prudent and revealing them unto babes? Yeah. I knew people would not be ready to see this. I downloaded the photos, removed them from the camera, and told my dad to return the camera to the shop. Later, I sent my report and inspection photos to the bank. The next day, I was out and about and realized the whole world was aware of the alien we had found. They had our photos. They were in every publication and on every news station. I had no idea how this had leaked. But let me say that two true Christians will recognize this as a deception, while the rest of the world will swallow the lie, like the waters out of the mouth of the dragon, right? Was to take down the woman, but instead the world swallowed it whole. I assumed it was because we returned the camera and the camera shop found the photos on the device and released them. I knew we had discovered it, but no one would ever know our identity. I was okay with that, but I was a little disturbed by how and why they were released. The world was in a frenzy, to say the least. Well, a few days had passed, and I was sent back to the same home by the bank to remove the small area of vines growing in the basement. And when I got back to the house, the alien child was gone, but the basement dining room was now absolutely full of green vines. So it's spreading drastically. The deception is spreading, you know. So this will be a worldwide deception that will be fed to all the people. The walls and ceiling were now covered. I was supposed to remove them, and it was a daunting task. Then my dad showed up, and we were talking about the alien. The next thing I knew, I stumbled across the rented camera in the basement. I got so upset at my dad because he returned the case, but not the camera. Honestly, I was worried about the late fees. LOL. He said he forgot to look inside the case when he returned it, and I realized something strange had happened. How did the world know of the alien if we never took the camera back? Who released the photos? And then I woke up. Obviously, this was something that both God and the devil wanted to be known. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, going down through 12. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and to bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now that was God's purpose, obviously. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, let me say, flesh is born of flesh, and not demons. In my teaching, I have taught that God said in John 3 and 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So demons cannot birth children through humans. Demons can infest humans with lying spirits, and they can bring forth children and even pass on the demons. Okay? That happens, passed on through the blood, right? Genesis 6 and 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Well, there's a really strong delusion about this, but if you look carefully, you can see what's wrong with it. Believers are the sons of God, mentioned here, and in the rest of the scriptures, like Psalm 82 and 6, Deuteronomy 14, 1 and 2, Hosea 1 and 10, Isaiah 43 and 6, going on and on. So notice, this was when men began to multiply, not angels. Jesus quoted Psalm 82 and 6 to his people. I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. So to be a son, you must be born of God, not created as the angels are. Adam was called a son of God, and he was born of God. And when he breathed into him the breath or spirit, same word in Hebrew, of life, only his flesh was created from the earth, and so was ours, which came from his. God specifically says that he never called an angel his son, nor are they born of him. Hebrews 1 and 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? It don't happen, right? This day have I begotten thee, the word is born. God specifically says their spirits were created. And the angels, and of the angels he saith, who maketh, or created, his angels winds, or the Greek word is spirits. God created the angels' spirits. They are created beings. Okay? They're not born. The proponents of this false doctrine say that Satan came among the angels in Job, who were said to be sons of God. It does not say that. Satan, the highest fallen angel, was not a son of God, but only came among them to be their accuser, as he did with Job, right? Job 1 and 6, now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan also came among them. He was not one of them, but he came among them. He immediately begins to accuse them to God. Verse 11, "But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face." Well, here's the same case. Zechariah 3 and 1 on down. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee." Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And he answered and he spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take the filthy garments from off him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel." Well, Joshua, the Hebrew word for Jesus, and Jerusalem represent the same thing here, the body of Christ, who are being accused by Satan. They are not Satan. They are being accused by Satan. Paul said the heavenly Jerusalem was the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, Hebrews 12 and 23. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We, as the sons of God, present ourselves before him constantly, and Satan comes among us to accuse us. And we're never out of God's presence. We are actually in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us, right? So you will notice that God separated the line of Seth and the line of Cain in Genesis 4 and 5, just as he separated Israel from the Gentiles and commanded them not to cross. In the New Testament, Christians are forbidden to marry unbelievers. Same thing, 1 Corinthians 7 and 39. "Although if you are married to one, do not leave them, for God can save them." 7, 12 through 14. So notice, in all three of these cases, we are talking about crossing the sons of God and the sons of the devil, or men, which is strictly forbidden. 1 Corinthians 7 and 39, Ezra 9 and 2, and 10 and 10, and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. In all of these cases, when the sons of God fell away, they began to have fellowship with fallen angels, which we call demons. Psalm 78 and 49, called here angels of evil. Some people say the demons aren't angels. No, the Bible says that they are. Angels of evil in 2 Corinthians 1, 12 and 7 in the Greek. Angel of Satan. A messenger, same word for angel, an angel of Satan, right? So demons do not directly create giants because they cannot. The scripture teaches that each seed brings forth after its own kind. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Okay, so therefore spirits cannot bring forth flesh. Some would argue that Jesus was born of God. Jesus' spirit was born of God, but his flesh was born of David through Mary according to the scriptures in Romans 1 and 3. And this was, by the way, called in Genesis the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman? Yes. Romans 1 and 3, concerning his son who was born of the seed of David, don't argue with the scriptures, according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. You mean Jesus came down here and he took on real flesh? He did. Yes, he did. And he is tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin too, right? So you're tempted when you're drawn away by your flesh, right? That's right. Okay, so he had flesh, and he was tempted, and he did overcome. He was an overcomer. So he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Spirits can inhabit bodies of men that can procreate, but they cannot have anything to do with making giants through marrying the daughters of men. Okay, it's just not possible. It's not biblical. Matthew 22 and 29 says, "But Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are they given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven." So angels can't do that, right? Fallen angels do not procreate man's flesh, but his spirit and soul. Spirits sow a spiritual seed, not a physical one. Jesus is the Word, who is, in Matthew 13, sowed the seed of the Word in his people's heart to bring forth his fruit in them, 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Matthew 13, 24, 27, and 32, the word for seed in the Greek is sperma. That's right, where we get our word for sperm. Demons also sow their sperm in mankind's hearts. It's a spiritual, right? To bring forth their evil fruit, but this is their spiritual man and not their flesh, right? Seth, the Son of God, is mentioned in the spiritual lineage of Jesus. Luke 3 and 38, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So you'll notice that God mentions all of Cain's wicked descendants in Genesis 4, 16 through 24. And after this, we are told in Genesis 4 and 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for, said she, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. So, and to Seth, to him also there were born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to point something out to you. All of that evil seed that God gave one to replace Abel, the righteous seed, right? All of that evil seed was not counted as the righteous seed. She said that God replaced Abel with Seth as a righteous seed. She did not count any of Cain's seed as righteous. Why didn't any of Cain's seed replace Abel as a righteous seed? Obviously, his seed were evil. In 1 John 3 and 12, not as Cain was of the evil one. Only after Seth and his son were born did the scripture say men, plural, began to call on the name of the Lord. Obviously, Cain and his tribe did not call on the Lord. They were sons and daughters of men, and as such, called on the devil. After Adam, there was not another son of God born until Seth, skipping over all of the seed of Cain. Genesis 5 and 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, in other words, a son of God, and called his name Seth. Notice that none of Cain's descendants, which were born before that, were sons of God, but were of men. So now you've got two groups, sons of God and sons of men. Aha! Total different lineage. How then were the giants made? Well, Seth and Cain's lineages stayed separate for hundreds of years. They inbred within their lines, which was not against the command of God at this time, in nature, especially after the curse, this deteriorates the line. Let me say, well, you're forgetting about pre-Adamite man, David. No, I'm not. There is no such thing as pre-Adamite man. He made of one, speaking of Adam, all men to dwell on the face of the earth. And Eve was, quote, the mother of all living. There is no such thing as pre-Adamite man. They were marrying within their own people. And that was before the curse fully set in. So it was legal. There was nothing said against it whatsoever. In nature, especially after the curse, this deteriorates the line. They became weaker, smaller, and less intelligent when you intermarry like that. They became weaker, smaller, and less intelligent. And wherever there has been inbreeding today, the descendants are sickly in mind and body. And when the sons of God began to fall away, some became inhabited by demons. This also happened in Israel and Christianity because history always repeats. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So when after years of inbreeding, the fallen sons of God and the sons of men crossed, making what is called in nature hybrids. See, I've just proven to you that the sons of God and the sons of men are both humans, okay? But they were never to cross. And when they did cross, they made a hybrid. The Nephilim were bigger, stronger, and more intelligent because as hybrids, they end up with the better physical characteristics of both lines. So later in the law, God forbid inbreeding, at least with close relatives. And now even cousins are a no-no, because the further from Adam we go, the stronger the curse has become. The serpent obviously walked on legs in the garden because God cursed him to crawl on his belly. That curse was gradual, and it increased as time went by. Even in Job's day, which was in Jacob's day, he saw dinosaurs in Job 40, 15 through 41, 34. So you have to ignore the translator's silly notes calling them hippopotamus and crocodiles. We've never seen a hippo with a tail like a cedar tree, or a croc that stood so tall that a multitude of men with spears and arrows dared not even approach him. No, these were dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were serpents with legs. Even today, some serpents have vestiges of legs beneath their skin. That's proven. The fire-breathing dragon in Job 41, 18 through 21 was a Tyrannosaurus. This was one type of the serpent in that time, but it was cast down by the curse to crawl on its belly. Revelation 12 and 9 says, and the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent. So he had legs, right? The increasing curse made it more and more improbable for giants or human or beast to be bred. Okay. So let me just mention a little bit about how they want to pollute the Bible, you know, the added books of the Bible, quote unquote, right? The people are wrong who say there were other books of the Bible that should have been included, or the apocryphal books should not have been taken out, saying that we only have 66 of them now, while many were missing. That's what they think. But they're not experts on this, and that's why Bible Numerics was created by God, you know. The White Hats retrieved all of them from the basement of the Vatican. And now people are saying, hey, who took these out of the Bible? They were never in the Bible. So who made these people experts on the anointed words which they have never followed? Right? There have been many books hidden at the Vatican, but Numerics is a pattern in every letter of the original Greek and Hebrew, parts of which are shown in various ancient manuscripts. And every manuscript can be proven as to where this pattern is or isn't, showing the original text. This is the math, the most exact science, okay? This pattern was designed by God to prove that only the 66 books are inspired by Him. No other books have been found that have this complete pattern in every letter and its position. The Catholics added their apocryphal books that were proven not to have this pattern. The original King James Version, some of you might be disappointed to hear, had these books in it, the apocryphal books, which had no pattern. The original King James book version had that. Satan and his aliens want desperately to pollute the Bible. The New Agers throw out the book of Revelations, which has this perfect pattern, disproving their 1,000 years of peace. When you read the book of Revelations, you know that that's not true. But they don't believe that it belongs in the Bible. So they take that one out and they throw these others in there to make everybody confused, right? To pollute the true word. So where the original Numeric Greek New Testament is used, Bible skip sequences, codes, will show up all through the text. Because the skip sequence picks every 10th, every 100th, every whatever letter. And if you've got any mistakes in there, it doesn't show up anymore. So you have to go back to the original. And that's where Numerics helps us to get back to the original. And you can see these skip sequences. It's a giant Bible code there. So God pronounces a curse at the end of the true Bible on all who add or take from its words. Revelation 22:18-21. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. So the 66 books are proven by math, God's numeric pattern. Now, I want to share with you an excerpt from this book by Philippe Besnard on New Age. Why? Because this sect has invaded the Alliance and is totally defenseless against this demon deception, along with the Unitarian types and the long-dead Christian religions of the shifting sands, I call them. So only the firm foundation of the Word and the infilling of the Holy Spirit will give discernment. These are the only people you can trust, you know. So this is spiritual warfare, a revelation of New Age deception. And it is a wonderful revelation about what is invaded, as everybody can see from the language, this alliance. North America, birthplace of the modern New Age movement. Okay. Well, when I met Felipe, he was coming out of 30 years of the New Age movement. And as such, he was an expert in describing it. And it will amaze you of this one world religion that is spread all over the world. Okay. He said, the North American continent is the birthplace of the modern New Age movement. And when I immigrated to Canada from France, I felt in awe of what I saw as the vibrant, quote, new spirituality, unquote, of this wild land. In comparison, I thought France and old Europe were still living in the Middle Ages. France is now catching up with the New Age, but for many years it has been very slow to emerge. As part of my new identity, adapting to a new culture and learning English, I became a true product of the New Age. I was eager to embrace the lifestyle and social and spiritual trends of my adoptive country. For 30 years, I had earnestly followed New Age teaching, traveled to workshops, conferences, seminars, training sessions, and festivals, met many of its teachers, and was personally taught by some of them. And I had received countless readings from channelers, psychics, astrologers, psalm readers. You'll notice that demons are behind all of this, right? And tarot card readers. I received spiritual healings from healers of all faiths and denominations, and even so-called DNA activation from a spiritual scientist. But the Bible says in Leviticus 19:31, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Yes, it does. I had embraced the mystic path and the contemplative lifestyle. I practiced yoga and meditation for many years, sat in darshan to receive the blessings of gurus, and participated in satsang, chanting the names of Hindu deities and Buddhist mantras. I facilitated devotional evenings with my guitar, chanting Sanskrit mantras, the music of which I had composed. I traveled to India twice and to other countries in the Far East, seeking truth, wisdom, enlightenment, and good karma. I have been in the company of and received teachings from a number of swamis, gurus, yogis, lamas, and so-called enlightened Western spiritual teachers. As a nature lover, I had worshipped nature and called the earth Gaia, followed the believed and believed in various native teachings and shamanism. My space at home was cluttered with New Age paraphernalia on the walls, tables, corners. In the garden, I had crystals, posters, images, and statues of Buddha and Hindu deities. The New Age is a melting pot made of practically every religious and occult philosophy found in the world. It is a strange convergence of mysticism. The only thing they can't stand is Christians. It's a strange convergence of mysticism, holism, pantheism, or aboriginal animism, humanism, Luciferian Western occultism with Freemasonry, theosophy, Rosicrucianism, modern Masonic witchcraft called Wicca, the Illuminati, apostate Christianity, Gnosticism, Islam, Taoism, Buddhism, Zen, Sufism, and Hinduism. The New Age is a broad movement characterized by alternative approaches to traditional Western culture, with an interest in Druidism, shamanism, neo-paganism, voodoo, exploration of human sexuality. Oh yeah, they're all into that, man. Environmentalism, modern-day occultism, worship of Mother Earth, psychic healing, and extraterrestrial phenomenon. Oh. So, aliens too, huh? Most of the ancient origins of the New Age are found in classical Hinduism, Buddhism, and pagan Babylonian religions. So, despite the name New Age, we are dealing here with a very ancient system. And everything outside of Christianity is just paganism, you know. Paganism is a people or a community observing a polytheistic religion, which is the worship of many gods, as opposed to monotheism, the worship of one almighty God, the creator of all that is. A pagan is also called an irreligious heathen, Gentile, or hedonistic person. The Great New Age plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. It's a one-world religion. This plan is claiming to establish a new order of things. It is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new non-sectarian one-world religion that has already been recognized by the United Nations. Wouldn't you know it? So this New Age globalism movement advocates a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economy. And, hey, we seem like we're headed in that direction, huh? And this would mean the destruction of the sovereignty of nations and religions. New Age teachers are using standard texts of Eastern religions, such as the Hindu Bhagavad Gita and the Tibetan Book of the Dead, as well as writings of Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah, and those Gnostic scriptures often called the Apocrypha. And that's the ones they keep trying to put into the Bible. Over the years, I became more and more confused. I can't imagine why. In studying such new revelations as the Urantia book, the Keys of Enoch, you know, yeah. Some people still think Enoch is... All the books of Enoch, by the way, belong in the Bible. No, they don't. So, Academy for Sure Science, a course in miracles, Elizabeth Clare Prophet of the Church of Universal and Triumphant. Yeah, that was one of the cults he got mixed up in. So, General Flynn in September of 2021 offered a prayer at a large church gathering of Trump-worshipping patriotic Christians that originated from Elizabeth Clare Prophet, invoking the sevenfold rays and the archangels. Have you heard of people talking to the archangel? Yes, but it's not the archangel. And other people they talk to, which are leaders of different planets and so on and so forth. You see these silly people all over the internet now. And they're just glorified witches, you know, summoning up these demons. Rick Wiles has denounced Michael Flynn because he delivered a New Age prayer almost word for word by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, a New Age theosophist and Christian Science advocate, at Pastor Hank Coonerman's Christian conference last week, and had everyone in the congregation repeat the invocation after him. Rick said, "My advice to you is to separate from General Michael Flynn," quote unquote. In this prayer, Flynn invokes the sevenfold rays and the archangels in your name and in the name of your legions to help guide humanity, that's the ascended masters, right, and protect us against the enemy and further the purposes of their agenda. So, who is his God? And to whom is he praying? The sevenfold rays and the archangels is based on New Age theosophy developed by Helena Blavatsky. You remember her, right? By the way, you can not achieve the rank of a military general without being initiated. The White Dragons, who support the alliance behind the scenes, believe that the Abrahamic God is Satan. At 11:53 minutes, what's behind General Flynn and the White Hats alliance? Here is an informative link. Okay. So back to Philippi's text. I also studied Rudolf Steiner, Anthroposophy, it's hard to pronounce that, Anthroposophy, Edgar Cayce, you recognize him a little better, The Law of One, Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, Heindel Max, The Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, Mystic Christianity, the Gnostic Gospels. So there is a lack of uniformity in the doctrines of New Age. The beliefs of New Age vary from group to group and person to person. Thus, it is difficult to have a clear definition and a solid understanding of what the New Age really is. And I believe this confusion has been created on purpose. Well, of course. Everybody just goes along and gets along, you know. Oh, you're one of us. We're New Age, right? But their doctrine is so different from each other. It's very hard to pinpoint, identify, and shoot the enemy when it's moving constantly, shape-shifting, or invisible. Yeah. People entering these movements are generally concerned with having an experience and not necessarily with finding the truth. Their actions are determined by feelings, not intellect. The emphasis is on practicing and becoming God. And this is why meditation and many other techniques that teach stillness of mind, quote unquote, and, quote, receptive feeling mode, unquote, are promoted. We are told to follow our bliss. Go with the flow. Let loose. To transcend the limitation of the mind. And to experience the pleasure and the ecstasy of the body. Using your mind to discriminate and discern has become taboo. Okay, so of course, the Word of God is to transform your mind, right? So that you know where the lines are. These people don't have any lines. The principle of spiritual vibration is the belief that all things vibrate at some frequency. The ultimate goal of all New Age practices is for humanity to vibrate at the same frequency so that we can all become one, spiritually and mentally. Quote, "We are all one," unquote. This most repeated New Age catchphrase wants us to believe the unity of all things, heaven and earth, spirit and matter, and the invisible and the visible worlds, the great melting pot of darkness, light, and everything in between. Where we go one, we go all? Well, okay, so this is, quote, "All is one," unquote, and "all is good," quote unquote. Don't worry, be happy, don't judge, and be in the moment is a disastrous recipe that generates apathy and complacency. It is creating a generation of self-seeking, egotistical people who are indifferent to iniquity and the suffering of others. Have you seen anybody like that out there? They are totally crazy. Left has become this. I have been a dedicated student of this school of thought, and I have practiced being fully in my body, opening all the inner channels and feeling the subtle currents. I was proud of feeling and being, but I was a total fool. And I had lost common sense and the ability to discern and discriminate good from evil. I didn't want to judge anything or anybody for the fear of being unloving and spiritually not evolved. What a perfect brainwashing and a diabolical device to enslave, control people, and turn them into powerless puppets. I was losing my God-given right to discriminate, and I didn't realize that judging is necessary for preserving the integrity of my soul. I used to confuse judging with condemning, and I know this confusion has been fostered on purpose. Then I discovered I can judge a situation or someone without condemning and feeling love and compassion toward all the parties involved. This was a very liberating and empowering realization. And of course, our human judgment is flawed and imperfect, but as we draw closer to God, we learn true divine justice. And I will add discernment. Yeah. Is the dark real? Is it a sovereign force? The beginning of the story starts with a question I have been asking myself over the years, and what about God? I often wonder how God is seeing me, seeing us, seeing the world. I often cry out to Him asking, "Why, God? Why is there so much pain and suffering everywhere in this beautiful planet? Why is there so much injustice, poverty, and violence? Do you have the feeling, as I and many others do, that something ominous is about to happen, and that we are only seeing the beginning of a momentous transformation? Yes, something is going to happen. The whole world is going to be deceived. And the only way to avoid it is in Christ, in the Bible, and in the Holy Spirit. It seems with each day the world is spiraling down into greater chaos, deception, and destruction. I know a lot of us choose to look at the positive and ignore the increasingly rapid deterioration of our civilization, but refusing to see that anything serious is happening, denying that we as a human race are in deep trouble is not going to change it, resolve it, or make it go away. No, in fact, denying is not seeing, and if we don't see, we are blind. and hopeless to change anything. Because of my willingness to honestly acknowledge and recognize the darkness pervading our world, I have been more readily able to recognize that this darkness is also within myself. And I realized I can only change something in the world or within myself when I am fully aware of what is truly happening. And I've heard many times people saying, the dark only exists when you believe in it. If you believe in the devil, in darkness, you're giving it power. But if you focus on the light, the dark has no place to be. I tried that belief on, wearing it for some time, but darkness was still there. This belief crippled my ability to discriminate evil from good. Is not believing in darkness preventing darkness from manifesting? Is the world such a paradise that there is no darkness to be seen anywhere? How can anyone believe this? The dark, of course, wants you to believe it is not there. But even the most remote paradisical Pacific island has murder, theft, violence, greed, etc. In my 20s, I lived on Boracay, a remote Philippine paradise island, for 5 months. I was living in a bamboo hut on the beach with no electricity, no running water, or any modern amenities. Life was so gentle and simple. I felt surely I had found the Garden of Eden. And one morning, I heard that a man had been murdered the previous night. There had been some drinking, and a knife fight broke out, and I was deeply shaken to the core. Yeah, it was there too, right? As was most of the tiny population of the island, my innocent naivete that the world is a safe place was completely shattered. In that one moment, I became aware of the pervading presence of the dark. The light is such a broad, impersonal concept when it is not mentioned as an attribute of God. In fact, many of us embrace the concept of the light. Yes, you hear the New Agers talking about the light all the time. The light's taking over the darkness. But no, they're not. They're wrong. They're carrying it with them. They are just like Felipe, you know. And many of us embrace the concept of the light, standing all by itself as a sovereign, impersonal, beneficial force that is replacing the name of God. Few people know the dark is quite capable and is a master of parading and appearing as the light. Yeah, we just 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There is the assumption prevalent in New Age circles that the light needs the presence of the dark to exist. We are told that within the fabric of the universe there is built an eternal polarity that makes the light of God not being able to exist without the darkness of Lucifer. Well, that is really stupid, isn't it? But when you're dealing with everything demons, and all around you is demons, and all you're studying is demons, it's easy to believe such stuff. Leftists are really confused. So this is a clever but absurd concept invented, of course, by the dark to deceive people into accepting Lucifer as a legitimate, purposeful, and even beneficial force. The great paradox is this, that Lucifer is indeed purposeful, not as an independent sovereign entity, but as a force that God uses for his own plan. The dark has created and is allowed to exist by God for his sovereign purpose, and actually needs God's approval and permission to continue to exist. And on the other hand, God obviously exists outside of this fallen, polarized world and has no need whatsoever of anything or anybody outside of himself. There is no darkness in the kingdom of God, not even anything that remotely resembles darkness. 1 John 1 and 5, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." If there is no darkness in the kingdom of God, then surely this planet, which has been corrupted with darkness since the beginning of time, is not the kingdom of God. Neither is the right or the left the kingdom of God, right? Okay. Jesus confirmed that fact by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18:36. Of course, this doesn't mean that God is not present or is removed from his creation, but I wondered why God allows darkness to be here. Please be patient with me as I attempt to offer my understanding based on the fruit of my life experiences and the teachings found in the Bible. The New Age Movement is the title he gave for this. For over 30 years, I had been searching for God and the truth while being completely lost in the great deception of the New Age. I was immersed in New Age thinking, was an intimate part of its movement, and worked to promote its philosophy and belief system. I was brainwashed to blindly accept and embrace New Age occult knowledge, and I was convinced my life of service and my spiritual studies were the highest expression of my love for God. I was sincere, as most New Agers are, but I was also completely deceived and clueless. My study and knowledge of esoteric and ancient mysteries gave me a sense of belonging to the highest evolved portion of humanity. Although I have always managed to retain some humility in my being, through a natural devotion to the Lord, I still had a typical New Age persona, a spiritual vanity, that vague illusion of having achieved a higher consciousness, which is, of course, what they talk about all the time. But they haven't arrived. They're just deceived, right? So this was constantly reinforced by countless readings which I had received over the years from psychics, clairvoyants, mediums, and channelers. I was repeatedly told how great, spiritual, and amazing I was, and how I had come here on earth from the higher angelic realms to save lost mankind. I was a walking earth angel with a mission. Of course, I knew everybody else was more or less told the same story, so I took all of it with a grain of salt, as I was aware of the deception of ego flattering, but I was hoping somehow I was special in the eyes of God. Little by little, over the last few years, I came to realize, through the grace of God's revelation, the many distorted truths and outright evilness of the New Age teachings. Because of my passionate nature, I had delved into this New Age pool deeply and had many close encounters with renowned teachers and spiritual centers across North America. This firsthand practical knowledge and in-depth study has given me a unique perspective to share with you the discovery of a very shocking and disturbing truth. The dark new age of Aquarius is here right now, and those leading the way forward in this new age are working hand in glove with the great and the powerful, some of the wealthiest and influential men and women on our planet are openly identifying themselves with the new age. From bankers, industrialists, politicians, celebrities, and religious leaders of all faiths, it seems everyone is going new age, and they are bringing huge numbers of the population along with them. Darkness is a very powerful force at work over this world. It is a corporate entity made up of many individuals and is described in the Bible as the beast. It is also the embodiment of one being who has been known by various names, including Thoth or Seth in Egypt, Manu in India, Hermes in Greece, and Lucifer, the devil, or Satan in the Judeo-Christian tradition. God is executing end-time Bible prophecy right this very day, and he is allowing Lucifer to create the final end-time New World Order of the Beast Empire. One of the instruments for all of this to come to pass is the New Age movement, also called the Plan, and what Freemasonry calls the Great Work of Ages. So, the QAnon movement has always said, trust the plan. Whose plan? Whose plan are they referring to? Probably not God's plan, but the New Age plan and their AI computers. Don't trust their AI computers. And he goes on to say, this is Lucifer's rebellion and master plan in action against God. The New Age movement has become a powerful political, philosophical, and economic force in our contemporary culture and is exerting its influence into every facet of modern life. Well, as I've often said, one beast is being conquered by the other. And we're grateful for that at this moment. The day will come when all of this camaraderie will melt away because they're looking down their snoots at us. We're not enlightened. We're very narrow-minded, as we are supposed to be. He goes on to say, its ultimate goal and plan is to introduce a one-world order and a one-world religion. The UN is gradually becoming the center of this new world religion and the House of Peace. With its programs and policies, is even more worthy of comparison to what some have called a modern-day Tower of Babel. Remember I mentioned that at the beginning. They want everybody to speak the same language. All of my research and personal experience during those years have led me to believe that Lucifer is a very real and he is rising or descending, depending on which way you look at it. He is here on Earth and in this dimension, causing havoc and chaos in an attempt to seat himself on the throne of a world state and to inaugurate a new religion with himself as its sole deity. Daniel 11:36. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Well, my thought is in Isaiah 14:13, and thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. There is a false belief among many today that Lucifer and Satan are the same, but this is propagated by the New Agers. Lucifer and Satan are actually two different aspects of the same creature. Lucifer means the brilliant one or the light giver, right? The son of the morning. In Hebrew, he was an angel beloved by God until this fall, and after this rebellion, he became Satan. And while there is a significant difference between the two, the terms today have unfortunately become synonymous with each other and with the devil, right? Satan has been busy working through his false prophets and religious harlots to pollute true Christianity and also offer a fake moralizing replacement for it to the world so that no one has to repent of any sin. In Revelation 12, the saints supplied the confession, right? And the angels did the heavy lifting and fought with Satan and his angels and cast them down. And so what happened when they got cast down? Well, we're looking at it. Wake up. We're talking about it now. You know, he is here. He's bringing deception. This alien invasion is the deception I want to kind of narrow down on a little bit. But let me talk first a little bit about the false prophet and religious harlot. Experience and the Word have taught me concerning prophecy that if the majority of God's people believe something, it must be wrong. God hides his truths in dreams or visions that are parables so that the false prophets and carnal Christians cannot understand them, as in Matthew 13:10-13. But privately, he explains them to his disciples. He hides truth from the wise and understanding of this apostate religious system and reveals them unto babes, according to Jesus in Luke 10:21. He reveals his hidden truths to those who are faithful. Revelation 2:17 says, "To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna." John's revelation was given to him as a parable from Jesus. If it were literal, the false prophets would know what's going to happen. And, of course, they deny it, right? And that, of course, is contrary to Jesus' own words. When the disciples were young and under the law, they didn't recognize the false prophets that ruled over them. As a matter of fact, they respected them. And it's that way today. I want to share with those of you who have eyes and ears who the false prophet is and what his work is. The false prophet is a corporate body of religious leaders that to the trained eye resemble those of Jesus' day. Since Jesus' day is a type of the coming man-child reformers in our day, we know there are going to be false prophets, plural. In all of the New Testament writings outside of the book of Revelation, we are warned that false prophets, plural, would come. In Revelation, false prophet, singular, is used, but it's in an allegory or a parable to hide the corporate body. Since Jesus, Peter and John said, in the end time, many false prophets shall arise. And then the false prophet in Revelation is a symbol of a corporate body, like the rest of the characters there, like the woman, the harlot, the beast, the witnesses, etc., etc. They're all proven to be, from Scripture, corporate bodies. It's the only way that all of the verses concerning false prophets can be right. In Matthew 7 and 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing," clowns, right? "But inwardly are ravening wolves." Matthew 24:11-24, it says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray." And verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So you see, they are plural. They come to you with moralizing like the New Age, and a lot of religions, and a lot of dead religions that started out being Christian. They like to moralize people. They don't know the way faith gives power to obey. They don't know that. They don't know the true gospel. And they don't preach it. They can't live it at all because they don't know the gospel that saves from sin, and nothing is sin to them. They are false because Jesus said, "To him that overcometh will I give authority," meaning overcoming sin. That's what it means, right? False prophets fit the type and the shadow of history according to Jesus. Luke 6:26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets." Peter also said there would be false prophets among us. 2 Peter 2:1, "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers." John also said that many false prophets would speak for Antichrist, right? 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world," meaning they went out from among us, as the scripture tells us. "And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist." So if the spirit of a person does not confess that the same Jesus, without adding to or taking from the Bible, is speaking there, then you know that's Antichrist. Notice that every spirit is the Antichrist. Did you see that? And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Every spirit, talking individually, that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a corporate body of people that do not confess the same as the Word of God. So, the New Age is one of these false prophets that confesses not Jesus as the only begotten Son of God and the leader of His church. But part of the strong delusion, as the King James Version uses, taught by the false prophets, is that we are to be looking for the coming of a man called the false prophet. While the biblical corporate false prophet is here, and in the pulpits already. They're deceived. The letter has deceived them. 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Most agree that the second beast in Revelation 13 is the false prophet. He is given authority by the first beast for the second stage of, which is this last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And that's Revelation 13:5. He is identified as a beast because he is a corporate body and is as is every other prophetic beast in the scriptures. Revelation 13:11, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and had two horns like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. So the beast that is coming into authority now is pointed to by the new age. It is a one world order with a covenant. And here we see that the false prophet masquerades as the lamb, two horns like unto a lamb, but he speaks as the world and Satan, and he spake as a dragon. So this second beast in chapter 13 is also identified after the world beast in Revelation 16 and 13 as the false prophet. And this impostor leadership for the harlot has a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3 and 5, but is carnal and can only teach a worldly corruption of the word. And they are actually a mouthpiece for the world beast in the apostate church. It was said of the world beast in Revelation 13 and 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, which means to speak against. That's what blasphemy means. So when they share their doctrines, they are blaspheming because they are speaking against the word of God. That's why so many of the old denominations are so dead and so worthless and without power and without being filled with the Spirit of God or the Word of God. They've been deceived. So these apostates speak against blasphemio, God, with their hypnotizing, ear-tickling doctrines of all fly away, unconditional eternal security, worldly prosperity, greasy grace, and anything but the self-crucifying truth, and 1,000 years of peace that will be interrupted by the tribulation that they do not believe in. Well, it will arrive. And, of course, some of these people will change their mind. Others will justify themselves, right? The false prophet is a corporate body within the corporate body of the harlot, which is a female because they receive the seed of Antichrist. And in verse 15, we see the female body of the false prophet, and it was given to her. That's the Greek word there. They thought, surely that's a mistake, we better change it, and they did. But the numerics is in her and tells you the truth. And it was given to her, the Greek, to give spirit, Greek, to the image of the beast. Bible numerics shows a perfect pattern for her and spirit in the original Greek and in the most accurate New Testament, the numeric English New Testament by Ivan Panin. There is no pattern in he or it. In Greek, breath and spirit are the same. Numerics show beyond a shadow of a doubt which words are correct here. In the rest of the text, this false prophet is identified as male by the same numeric pattern. But it has a spiritual body that is receiving their deception, right? A translator would have had to respect the word enough to ignore his own reasoning and to simply translate what was there. Most are not willing to go out on a limb and look foolish when they do not see the reason. A male, who is also seen as female, is clear proof that God is not speaking of an individual here, but a corporate body of people. In parallel, we are the male body of Christ, made in his image, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we are female in another type, Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, being married and submitted to him to receive only his seed, which is his word. So let's see this corporate false prophet and his relationship to the harlot in another parable. We know Ahab represents the ten-horned beast who was being ridden by Jezebel, 1 Kings 18. Exactly as the harlot rode the beast in Revelation 17, 1 through 3. They ruled over the apostate ten tribes, who were also those who worshiped the image of the beast, the golden calf. As the corporate mother of the harlot sects of Christianity, she leads them into the great tribulation and death unless they repent. In Revelation 2 and 20, Jezebel teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, meaning with the world beast, by receiving their seed, right? And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. So like the harlot, Jezebel was guilty of the blood of the prophets and of the saints. 1 Kings 18 and 4, 2 Kings 9 and 7, and Revelation 18 and 24. In Revelation 17 and 16, when the beast is through using the harlot, he devours her. And so it was with Jezebel, who was devoured by the dogs, 1 Kings 21 and 23, symbolizing the unbelievers, Mark 7 and 27, or the beast, right? The true ministers of God are fed at the church's table, 1 Corinthians 9, 13 through 14, and the false prophets are fed from the harlot's table, 1 Kings 18 and 19. The prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the Asherah, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. So the two categories of false prophets represent the two horns of the false prophet in Revelation 13 and 11. Find out who Baal and Asherah represent in modern times, and you will know who the corporate false prophet is. These two have their roots at the Tower of Babel and were originally Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, Genesis 10, 8 through 10. They created the original harlot religion that spawned all the rest, and they are a type of the great corporate mother of harlots of all history, Revelation 17 and 5. And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots of the abominations of the earth. So when Nimrod died and Semiramis, later called Asherah, became pregnant, she claimed that Nimrod had become the sun god, later called Baal, who then, by virgin birth, was reborn as her son, Tammuz, as the son of God. The false son of God. So these original Babylonians worshiped the false father, son, and virgin about 2,300 years before the true virgin birth. Semiramis probably knew of the prophecy in Genesis 3 and 15 concerning the virgin birth, the seed of the woman. And if she didn't, the devil did. So with the confusion of languages and dispersion at Babel, this legend went throughout the world, and these three were given different names in different cultures, many of which are in the Bible. The golden calf in Egypt was a symbol of the father, Baal, in the sun. And remember Pharaoh's title meant Great Temple of the Sun God, S-U-N-G-O-D. sun images all over the world. And in the Catholic and Eastern churches, symbolize the false sun. The Israelites, with their golden calf, thought they were worshiping Yahweh or Elohim, the true God, but it was Baal, another Jesus. One horn, the 450 prophets of Baal, represents those who teach another Jesus. And this is the apostate Protestant ministers. The other horn, the 400 prophets of the Asherah, represent those who worship the Virgin. These are the Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and many others that are into Mariolatry. We know that Mary became saved and is our sister, and of course we love her, but she is not the Mother of God, as Mariolatry teaches. Romans 1 and 3, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. So Jesus' flesh was the seed of David through Mary, the seed of the woman, as Genesis said, right? Which was the promised seed of the woman in Genesis 3 and 15. So Mary is the mother of Jesus' flesh, which is the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus' Spirit Man was the Son of God. Jesus agreed with this saying in John 3 and 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Some would say that the two horns are the apostate leaders of the Christian religion and the leaders of false religions. To this I agree partially. The same verses usually address both greater and lesser types. The greater type is the most complete fulfillment, and all of the Babylonish religions will be gathered together into the end-time harlot. The false prophets and religious harlots spread the confusion at Babel throughout the world, and now the Unitarian New Age is seeking to bring Babel back together in a new Catholic, meaning universal, religion that doesn't rebuke their own sins, much less others. So if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, the Lord was speaking to you when he said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. The Lord said that we can delay this invasion now, but we cannot ultimately stop it, for God has sent this delusion. Did you hear what I said? We can delay it now. We can mute its force now by coming against the demons, right? Because this is a demon attack. It's not an alien attack. It's a demon attack, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we know that Satan is called the deceiver of the whole world, quote unquote. Is he going to do that? He is going to do that. Yes. And the only thing in this context that saves a person is a love for the truth. If they have a love for the truth, they will find it. You know, Ahab, he had, he was over the 10 apostate tribes of Judaism. He was the beast with the 10 horns, right? And Jezebel, of course, was the harlot that rode the beast. So today we have the same thing. And the Lord is teaching us and delivering us from these hidden lies. And thank you, Father, for doing this, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for opening our understanding and granting us grace to discern this alien invasion as none other than a demon invasion that's being invited by the world. So thank you, Father, for your people who will stand or will be the salt of the earth. They will mute this. They will not stop it because you have sent it, but you have given authority for us to delay it for a short period of time, at least the major force of it. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime.